Dear saints of God, of the doctrines of the Church, the Trinity is one of the most foundational and necessary doctrines and the most important to get right. However, to us it seems that this may be one of the more trivial and inconsequential doctrines, at least with the less amount of impact on us day to day. The more important doctrines might be something like this, you might think, the doctrine of baptism, that if you believe baptism is an act of your human will instead of God's divine gift for salvation, then you probably won't bring your children to the waters of baptism until they reach some kind of an age of accountability. Or if you don't believe in original sin, that sin corrupts your very will and your very ability to believe in God, if you reject that, then you're more likely to think that it is your decision that makes you right with God rather than faith, which is a passive gift of God. And then there is also the doctrine of the Lord's Supper that seems pretty important, because if you believe that this is merely the symbol of Christ's body and the symbol of Christ's blood, then coming here is just a remembrance, something like lighting fireworks on the 4th of July. But if you receive here what Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood," and you receive it, as he said, "given for you for the forgiveness of sins," then this is the place that is the antidote to the weakness of your flesh and the fount of God's mercy given in a real and tangible way. All those doctrines seem rather important because they directly affect how you live and how we stand before God. But the Trinity, what difference does it make whether God is one or God is three? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, for many, it seems what you call God doesn't really matter, just that you believe in God. In fact, it's getting pretty trendy these days to say, under the banner of tolerance, that all religions are basically the same, we just all call God by the different names. And so Christians believe in the Trinity, Muslims believe in Allah, Jews believe in Yahweh, Mormons believe in the Father, and JWs believe in Jehovah. All calling God by different names, but believing in God is really all that matters. It doesn't matter what you call God. All roads lead to Rome. When I was a seminarian, I met a pastor who told me a fascinating story. This pastor had been long time in his parish. And he would talk about how when you're a pastor for such a long time, not only do you get the honor of baptizing infants, but you're there long enough that you're baptizing their infants. And he told a story about a man who was a member of his church, whom he had counseled through the various stages in life, through the good times and the hard times. And this particular man was going through a divorce, and the pastor would counsel him, and he ended up getting divorced, and he counseled him on the struggles of being a divorcee. And even some time later, this man sought out the pastor's advice as to whether it'd be in keeping with God's will to get remarried to another woman. And in this particular situation, it was in keeping with God's will that the man could remarry. And so, of course, this man wanted his pastor to officiate at the wedding. And so they got to the wedding, and the pastor said, let's say his name is Bruce, "Bruce, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold for better or worse in sickness and in health, as long as you both shall live?" And he said, "I do." And then he turned to his new bride and he said, "Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?" But the pastor, in doing so, had inadvertently addressed his bride by the name of his ex-wife. Now, the pastor felt completely awful. And the couple were gracious and forgiving, knowing that the pastor made a mistake and pastors are imperfect. But the question is, why did that even matter? It seems like a name is just a name, and that all brides are basically the same, and that we should be tolerant enough to substitute one name for another. Well, it mattered because Bruce wasn't wedding himself to just any woman. He was wedding himself to this woman in particular. He vowed to love and even die, not just for any woman, for this woman. And brides, they promise to submit to their husbands. They don't promise to submit to just any man. They promise to submit to one man in particular, and it is the man who has promised to love her and even die for her. Husbands and wives, brides and grooms, accept no substitutes. And to get the name wrong suggested that the vow was for someone else. This is why our doctrine of the Trinity matters. Because God has revealed to us who He is. And as soon as we insert any other idea about God than what God has told us about Himself, then we're no longer talking about that one true God, the God who actually saves us, the God who actually forgives our sins. This isn't just a matter of getting a few details wrong. It's a matter of missing out on God altogether. It would be like going to the airport looking for your gate 11B and instead board the plane at 11D. That's no minor detail. That mistake changes your Hawaiian vacation to a vacation in Nebraska. So what has God revealed about Himself? From the Scriptures, we know very clearly that there is only one God. Not a plurality of gods or many gods, only one. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And Deuteronomy 6:4 is like the creed of the Old Testament. It's known as the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet, the Scriptures refer to different gods, refer to different persons as God. Hebrews 1:8 says, of the Son, He says, your throne, O God, forever and ever. And Romans 9:5 says, the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. And the Scriptures also refer to the Holy Spirit as God in Acts chapter 5, where Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. So the Scriptures refer to all three persons as God, and yet there are not three gods, there is one God. This is why a pastor in the 3rd century by the name of Tertullian came up with a word that held all of these teachings together, that the Father is God, that the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, only one God. And the word he used to describe this teaching is the Trinity. Tri meaning three and unity meaning one. So we readily admit that the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, but it is a word that is used to confess what the Bible teaches. So Tertullian and Athanasius and many other church fathers from the first centuries of Christianity fought to confess these truths, and some even died over this confession that there would be any mistake that God is one and yet three in person. There were many false notions about the Trinity during the day. Probably the most popular was known as Arianism, which was named after the creator Arius. And this person taught that Jesus was a creation of God, and that the Son did not exist from all eternity, and that although Jesus had God-like characteristics, like he could perform miracles, Jesus, he said, was not true God himself. Another false teaching came along. This one recognized the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it said that God was one who played different roles. Kind of like a father would sometimes be a husband and sometimes be an employee, so God would take on different roles. He would sometimes act as Father, and then sometimes he would act as Son, and then sometimes act as Holy Spirit. The problem with this view is that it denies that the Father could be God and the Son could be God at the same time. This was deemed a heresy and known as modalism. Another view came along which said God is one, the Father makes up one-third God, the Son makes up one-third God, and the Holy Spirit makes up one-third God. And of course, the problem here is that while you have one God, no person is God in and of himself. So the Father isn't God by himself, the Son isn't God by himself, and the Holy Spirit isn't God by himself. This, known as partialism, was also described as a heresy. And then one more, there was a false view that came along that said the Father is 100% God, the Son is 100% God, and the Holy Spirit is 100% God. And you're thinking, great, finally, someone got it right. Until you hear them say that that means there are three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This one denies that God is one, so it is known as tritheism, also known as a false teaching. Now, in the midst of all of these false views floating around, you might be tempted to just throw up your hands and say, who knows, who cares? But before you go there, consider the simplicity of even our gospel lesson read this morning from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let's start with the notion that there is one God, and that that one God has the right to be mad at his creation. While this may ignore something that many people hold very deep down, so that many people have this sense, call it their conscience, that says that their own wrongdoings, their own sins, put themselves at odds with God and objects of his wrath. It's embedded to our very conscience. I told some of you this week about a billboard I saw one time. It was trendy for a while for churches and Christian groups to put quotes on billboards and attribute them to God. And this one was an all-black billboard with white letters, and it said, "Don't make me come down there," signed God. Now, this billboard perfectly illustrates how our consciences think God should deal with us. Like a father driving to Disneyland with the kids feuding in the back seat, "I will turn this car around right now if you don't shape up." And that's what that billboard said. If you don't get your act together, I'm going to come down there. And the assumption is that God is going to come down and knock some heads together for our disobedience. As well he should. Look at us. And then we read again from John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world." And the Greek there isn't that God so loved the world, but we could translate it in this way. God loved the world in this way, that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So when God did come down here, it wasn't to knock heads together. That even in the midst of our own sin, God loved us so much that he would send his Son to atone for our sins, that he would have us back with him. that when the Son comes, you don't see a God that is here to punish you. He is here to be punished for you, in your place. That by believing in him, you would be saved. And how is it that anyone would be saved? John 3 gives us that too. That which is born of flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of spirit is of the spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a UPS man who is delivering the gifts of God. He takes what was won on the cross by God's own Son, and he delivers it to you through his word. Through the word preached, through the word attached to water. And in so doing, he gives you the gift of faith, which means he gives you the gift of belief. So you see, all three persons of the Trinity are at work in you who would be saved. By the Father's sending, by the Son's redeeming, and by the Spirit's sanctifying. If you take any part of that equation away, it means you are left in your sins. The reason that we still confess these things, the reason we still preach these things, the reason that the men of old died to defend these things is because the difference is salvation or not. And because we are unwilling to hand over the world to hopelessness, we'll confess the holy name of the Trinity even if it's our very last breath. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.